This is Digital Story Podcast number 656, October 9th, 2018. Today's theme is 5 Cool Imaging Tricks with Mac OS Mojave. I'm Derek Story. Mac OS Mojave, otherwise known as version 10.14, features a handful of goodies for imaging buffs. Starting with dark mode, that just makes all of our pictures look better. To improve performance under the hood, this latest operating system for Macs is a pretty sweet ride. But there are a few goodies that aren't immediately apparent to the eye, but are delightful just the same. And that's the top story in today's TDS Photography Podcast. I've been working with my new photos title for LinkedIn and Lynda.com, and it's been very interesting this time around because one of the changes that's happened with Apple is that the Photos app itself, there are some changes there, and I'll have to talk about them for sure, but there's a whole kind of shift here going on with Mac OS Mojave to where photography is more integrated into the entire computer and not just limited to the apps themselves. And I thought this was fascinating, and especially as I began to dig deeper. So there are some features, most of them are in the Finder itself, that are pretty cool. And in fact, take us to the point to there's a lot of imaging work that we can do without ever having to open any app, whether it's Photos or Lightroom or anything. And so what I thought I would do is share today 5 of these discoveries that I've had while doing this research of what I consider pretty cool things that come with this OS. They're just part of Mojave, and they're pretty exciting. And let's get to the first one right now. Well, we have to start out with gallery view in the Finder, right? I mean, that is really terrific. So what am I talking about? Well, before, you know, we could look at things as icons. You know, we're talking about files, right? You know, so in this case, we're talking about photos. You know, so you got img_123, img_1234, you know, all that kind of stuff. All right. So before we could look at them as icons, we could look at them in a list. There was a column view that was kind of nice. Now we have something called a gallery view. And gallery view is, I really enjoy it. I'm surprised at how much I like it. And what happens in gallery view, and this is especially good when you have a folder full of images. So you got, let's say you just, you know, brought them in from a memory card or from a hard drive or something like that. And you just want to go through these images. So what you do is you go to gallery view, and it's right up there, you know, where all your other options, where all your other view options are. You choose it, and then there's a row of thumbnails at the bottom. And you click on one of those thumbnails, and then you get a browser view, a nice big view of the image that you've clicked on. And on the left-hand side, if you want, you have a sidebar that has all the normal stuff, you know, your photos and movies and, you know, all those directories over there. But on the right side now, you have XF data. And XF data can be a little bit, or if you click on show more, you get a lot of it. And it's the kind of XF data view that I've wanted forever in Photos. Interestingly enough, we still don't have it in Photos, but now we have it in the Finder via gallery view. There are all sorts of ways that you can use gallery view. One of them I wrote about on Sunday is enabling quick actions. And as you look at the gallery view window, and you have all the fun stuff that we've already talked about. And then there's some more goodies up at the top. But down in the lower right corner, you have something called quick actions. And there are some default ones right there, such as convert to PDF. But then there's a little 3-dot more icon there. And you click on that. And basically, you can have automator actions stashed there. And these automator actions are very easy to create, and they're perfect for things that you have to do all the time, but you want to automate them, right? Hence the name automator. So for instance, I have one where I have to convert images from PNGs to JPEG a lot because, you know, the screen capture, which is also very good, still captures in PNGs. Generally speaking, I like publishing JPEGs better. And so now I don't have to open up the images to do that. I just go ahead, I take all my screenshots, just stash them in a folder, which is what I do anyway. Open up that folder in gallery view, and then I can use this quick action to convert all those PNGs to JPEGs. I don't have to open them up in an app or anything. Just the little gear turns, and then there they are. They're placed on my desktop as JPEGs, and I set it up so that the original PNGs are kept as well, so I don't lose those. I have another one where I have to sample down to 2048, because that's the size, 2048 pixels on the longest side, because that's the size that I use for publishing on social, Facebook in particular. Again, I don't want to have to open up the images to do that and go through all of that. If I've got the image already, wherever it came in from, now I can just look at it in gallery view and apply the quick action, and then I get a copy at 2048. These quick actions, by the way, are available in other places, including the right-click contextual menus. So they're, you know, once you get them in, you have access to them all sorts of places. And the really cool part is, and this is what I wrote about in the article that you can read on Digital Story, is that they're really easy to create because what Apple has done, they've already written a bunch of the actions for you. So you have this whole library of actions, and basically you just pick the ones that you want and then, you know, say save it. And they even save it to the place, the right place in the services directory. So then immediately you have access to it in the gallery view and right click and all those other places. So gallery view now is this like hub for all sorts of stuff. We can browse our images. We can perform, you know, some minor edits there. We can run quick actions. We can review the XF data. You can add tags. All this in gallery view, which is just part of the OS. So that's definitely, you know, one of the things that jumped out at me with Mojave that I go, this is definitely an improvement. The second thing I'm also very impressed with, and that's screen capture and video capture. Now, we've had those before, but not like this. So we have a new sequence now. It's a Shift-Command-5. So Shift-Command-3 in the past would do just a whole screenshot of the screen. Shift-Command-4 gives you a selection rectangle so that you can choose just what area of the screen that you want to do a screen capture. But now Shift-Command-5, which is new to Mojave, gives us this whole tool, a really nice tool, where we can do screen capture. And when I say screen capture, I mean stills, right? And video screen capture. In other words, you know, you can make a screen cap movie. And so I tested this out. And I was, you know, just saying, okay, let's say that I want to apply a quick action to something. So I went ahead and made a little screen cap movie of that. And I was amazed at not only how easy it was, but how good it was. So I was going, this is really crazy. Plus, when you go through Shift-Command-5, the screen caps, the still images, also look different. Now we have them and they have a little drop shadow and they're pretty refined looking. And then you can make adjustments after you capture them. You can do all sorts of stuff. There's this whole toolbar that appears at the bottom when you enable Shift-Command-5. So now if you want to, let's say that you're trying to explain something to somebody, or you want to include, you know, a few moves in a blog post, or, you know, however you want to do it, attach it to messages, you can just do the screen capture right there in the Finder, Shift-Command-5, and make a movie. You can even include audio if you want. It has the option to, you know, record the microphone as well. And I just thought, not only is this easy and impressive, but the quality of it is very high. So it's like an app, right? It's not like something that was just an afterthought. They really did a lot of work, right there. So I love this. And then, you know, the other things that you can do with this screen capture, as I mentioned, is that you still can capture the entire screen. You can capture just a window now, which we couldn't do before. So you just choose, hey, I just want that window. And it does a great job of just capturing the window very clean with a little drop shadow. And of course, you can still do selection as well. So built-in stills and video screen capture, definitely one of the gems in Mojave. I really like the way it works. I've already just started using it all the time. You know, nice job on that one. The third thing that's, you know, really interesting is, and now we're going to go back to our gallery view. And there are these basic quick actions in gallery view that I mentioned before, you know, rotate, markup, create PDF, and then there's one called trim. So this you don't have to create, they're just there. And the reason why I bring this up is because you can trim video in the Finder now using the trim quick action. So all you have to do, let's say that you do the screen capture, you know, using the tool that I just talked about, but you had a little, you know, throat clearing at the beginning of it. And really, you want this thing to start about 2 seconds in, not right at the very beginning. Well, you don't have to take your screen capture movie and put it in any apps or anything. All you have to do is look at it in gallery view and then use the trim. The trim will automatically show up down there. You'll see it down there in the lower right corner. Use trim. And then you just get that nice yellow rectangle that we're used to working with in iMovie and other places. You get the trim handles, and you could trim, you know, at the beginning, and you could trim at the end, and just clean up your movie and just take care of it right there in the Finder. You don't have to open it up in an app or do anything. So this is, you know, really super handy. And, you know, also, I should mention that, you know, Automator, which we're talking about before, where you can create your own quick actions. So it has, in the library, it has quick actions for stills, for photos, but it also has quick actions for movies too. So you might want to take a look at that. And in addition to trim, which is, you know, super handy, there might be some others that you want to add to that more menu that's in the gallery view. So as you can see right away, when I say that, you know, all this stuff is just happening at the Finder level, I'm not kidding. I'm really not kidding. There is a ton of stuff. Number four, instant scanner. So this one I was fascinated with, and this is all part of what Apple calls continuity camera. So continuity camera means that you can enable your iPhone there on your Mac. You could be in an app such as Pages and say, hey, I need a picture of this thing for an illustration in a Pages document. So you just enable your iPhone, take the picture, and then the picture just shows up in the Pages document. Well, you can also enable this just right in the Finder. You can enable continuity camera right in the Finder. All you have to do is right click in the Finder, and in that pop-up menu, just choose import from iPhone. There'll be a pop-up menu, you just choose import from iPhone in that menu. Now, you have two options. You can take a picture, which is more what I was talking about before, you know, so it'd be an object or something, you know, that you want a shot of, or you can scan documents, and they're different functions. So I said, okay, I want to scan receipts, right? Because that's, you know, one of the things that I have to do, and I don't want to have to use a regular scanner. Now, there are iOS apps that allow us to scan documents, but this puts it right in my Mac where I can just store it right where I'm going to store it, you know, on my laptop or whatever. And it just really makes the workflow a lot smoother. So I said, I'm going to do that. I'm going to scan some receipts. So I did that. I got some receipts out from the workshop that I just did up at Lake Almanor, you know, the fees for the parks, stuff like that. And I tried this out. Did it right there in the Finder. You know, the scanner identified the object when I'm in scanner mode. And then it just shows up as a PDF right there on my Mac. And I'm going, you know, this is really nice. this is really cool. So now I have an instant scanner whenever I need it just by using continuity camera, with my laptop, and I can just scan the stuff, put them in a folder. I can just be sitting there really at a table in a coffee shop or something. Let's say that I got a little time to kill. Just scan a bunch of receipts while you're killing time. Have that taken care of. You don't have to wait till you get back to the office or to your home to do it. Just do it wherever you are. And a continuity camera makes that easy. And again, that's a new feature in Mojave. And finally, number five, this is something that actually is in Photos. And a lot of people have been asking for this for a long time, but now file names show beneath the thumbnails in Photos. And if you're working in other apps, you go, well, that's not a big deal. Yeah, it's not a big deal until you don't have it. And for some reason, they had been resistant in Photos to give us the file names beneath the thumbnails. So the way that it works now, you have sort of an either-or situation. So if you add a title to the photo, then the title shows up beneath the thumbnail. But if you don't add a title to the photo, you know, and you add title in the get info box, it's the metadata that we can add. If you don't add a title, then the default is the file name. So in other words, you have the file name unless you add the title. And it's just so much nicer now looking at all my thumbnails and photos with all the file names right below them. And of course, if you understand, you know, your camera and its file naming system and all that, then right away I know, oh, I took that with the Olympus. I took that with the Fujifilm. I took that with the Canon, you know, that kind of thing. It's one of those things that you don't hear about, but is now part of Photos in macOS Mojave. And I'm just really glad that they finally did that. There's a few other things I have outstanding that I want in Photos, but I'll take this one. So anyway, those are five features that I hope you find interesting. I think they're really neat. By the way, just as an overview of Mojave itself, I've had really good luck with it. It has really increased the performance of my 11-inch MacBook Air, and it made the screen better. I never really liked the way photographs displayed on that screen compared to my other computers. They enhanced that, and they really brought that more into line. It's snappier, it's faster. It's really a good OS that way. And then you add these features that I'm talking about, and then on top of that, you add dark mode, which I just love, and I think practically every photographer is going to love dark mode as well. It's really a nice upgrade, and you can't beat the price. All you have to do is download it and install it via the App Store. It's a good one, and it's a fun one for photographers. We have a new sponsor this month that I'm really pleased about. I'm introducing HoneyBook. HoneyBook to make your business as good as your art. Listen to this for a second. I was fascinated by the service when it was first introduced to me. So here's what they say. They go, what small business owner wants to spend their time on paperwork, endless emails, and dealing with payment collection? I would say most of the time the answer to that is no. And that's why there's a service called HoneyBook. And I was very curious about it. When I was first approached by them, you know, the first thing that I always do, as I mentioned to you before, is I go investigate the product. After I've had a chance to look at it, then I get back. And if I'm interested, we talk. And if I'm not interested, then I say thank you very much. Well, this time I was definitely interested. And in fact, I even set up an account so I could really dig in there and take a look at it. And, the thing that attracted me initially to HoneyBook was the accounting, the bookkeeping side of it, because that's the hardest part for me, bookkeeping. And in all honesty, the bookkeeping and the invoicing and then the following up on invoices and all that stuff right now for me is this multitude of different apps that I've sort of cobbled together. And then over the years, I've changed the apps too, which means that if I want to go back and look at some old stuff, I've got to find the old app and, you know, all that kind of stuff. One of the approaches to HoneyBook that's really good is they take all the things that we need and they integrate it into one online platform. So not only is your bookkeeping there, your task management, your calendar, your projects, invoicing, following up on invoices that may be overdue, all that kind of stuff is all integrated into one platform. So you're just using one thing. You just log into one thing, and then you can basically run your whole business right there in this one interface. And that, when I was looking at it, I was going, you know, that's pretty nice. I mean, that's very nice. And it's a web-based application. Here's the way they explained it to me, you know, when they first approached me. And I thought this is very interesting. I'm actually going to read it to you because I thought it was a good summation of their service. They said, HoneyBook is a purpose-built business management platform for creative small businesses to help photographers, that's us, designers, oh, there's a bunch of us there too, and event professionals, and a word that I hadn't seen before that I guess is a real thing, solopreneurs. I'm a solopreneur, I think. Can save hundreds, if not thousands, of hours a year by adding time-saving automation into their business. HoneyBook makes it easy to streamline the client process so that you never miss a thing. And that is a good thing. I tell you, that is a good thing. Because, you know, the more that we as freelancers, as solopreneurs, anyone that has to deal with the business side of the art, you know, anything that we can do to keep that business side in check and efficient to free us up for more time, you know, to work on our art and to spend with our family, that's a really good thing. And that's why I decided, I said, hey, let's talk about this on the show and let's get it in front of people, because I think there's a lot of folks in our community that could use help in this area. And I think HoneyBook is a very good solution. Here's the offer. All right, you ready for this? So for a limited time, TDS listeners can get 50% off the first year of HoneyBook with the promo code THEDIGITALSTORY. All one word, uppercase, THEDIGITALSTORY. HoneyBook membership includes unlimited access to all features at one low monthly price. So go to honeybook.com, and that's HoneyBook.com. Use promo code THEDIGITALSTORY to get started. Again, honeybook.com with the promo code THEDIGITALSTORY, all one word, uppercase. Take a look and see what you think. Honeybook.com with promo code THEDIGITALSTORY, and I'm really great to have them on board for this month. Luminar with Library due to be released in December. So it's been a long wait for Luminar fans to have the much discussed digital asset manager, but it's finally going to see the light of day in December. That is solid. It's going to happen. This is also good news for those of you who signed up earlier this year for my Nimble Classroom on this very subject. So I'm going to be getting in touch with all of you. We'll set a date. First, I have to know the date that Luminar with Library is actually going to be released. Once I know that, then we'll schedule the class, and I'll get you up to speed on it right away. And by the way, that class is sold out, but I will do another class up the road once we get this first one taken care of. So Skylum has released some teaser videos to provide glimpses of the upcoming Luminar library, and I have a link to those in the show notes. At this point, it's really hard to say, you know, what features the software is going to have on its first release. I think a lot of it's going to depend on how all the features that are in there right now fare during beta testing. How will they shake out? Because I know the one thing that Skylum wants is they want this to run well, and they want it to run well right out of the chute for both Mac users and for Windows users, right? Because it's Luminar with Library is for both platforms. So if something isn't just perfect, they will probably hold it for a subsequent release. So I'm not exactly sure what we're going to see, you know, right out of the gate. I will tell you that what I have seen so far looks good. It looks interesting. It's pretty. And it's fast. So, you know, those are good things to start with. So I'll keep you posted on it, but I just wanted you to know, because I know we have a lot of Luminar users here in our community. We're going to get the library in December by the end of the year. That's good news. If you want to see some of the teasers that Scott has put out, just go ahead and click on the link in the show notes, and it'll take you over, and you can see for yourself. And we're almost there, kids. We're almost there. So we have started the photo critique for our Inner Circle members. I've got the first one up right now. And in case you missed it last week, what photo critique is for our Inner Circle members who support this podcast via Patreon. I'm asking them to submit photos, and I've got a nice folder of images right now. And then on a very regular basis, I'm going to pick one of those photos, and then I'm going to write up a critique of it, and, you know, to really a constructive critique to really try to help the photographer take that shot to the next level and just get another set of eyes on it, right? Sometimes we're looking at images and, you know, we don't know where to go. We become numb. It's same thing happens to me with writing too, where you just need to have someone else take a look at it. So that's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be taking a look at it. And then I publish the photo critique. I've published the first one already. Patrick, by the way, has the first one. And then the other folks can also comment on not only my critique of it, but also their views on the image itself. So then Patrick gets not only what I think about it, but some of the other Inner Circle members as well, who are all passionate photographers, right? So this is a lot better than showing it to your husband or your girlfriend or your dog and, you know, not really getting the depth of feedback that you want. Photo critique, I think, is really going to help with that. So the first one's up right now for our Inner Circle members, and I'm going to do another one here in a few days, and I'm just going to try to keep them going on a regular basis. If you're interested in that, plus being interested in helping support the show, the Digital Story Podcast, all you have to do is click on the tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story, the Patreon tile. Go over, take a look at the page, see what you think. And if you become an Inner Circle member, then when I publish a photo critique, it's available to you. And plus, there's also instructions there how you can submit a photo to be part of it as well. A big thanks to all of our Inner Circle members for supporting this show and all the other stuff that I do. I really appreciate it. And I think this is going to be really fun. I hope you enjoy it. I also want to mention that I have B&H and Amazon ad tiles on all the pages of the Digital Story. If you think you're going to go shopping at one of those places, if you just come over to our site first and click on one of those tiles and then go shopping, that helps support the site through our affiliate program. I really appreciate it. And it's easy to do, and it doesn't cost you anything other than what? An extra click. Cost you an extra click. But it's such an important click, and I appreciate your support. And finally, a big thanks to our friends at Red River Paper. They're the longest running sponsor of the Digital Story. I ran an interesting piece today on Facebook. This is Monday that I'm recording this. Ran an interesting piece on Facebook where the photographer was talking about ways that maybe we could talk about printing online so that more people were interested in it, so we could get more people interested in it, saying that maybe some of the terminology has to be updated. I thought it was an interesting piece, and I just loved it. And I loved it that Chris also mentioned Red River Paper in there, you know, as one of the primary players in the space of which they are. So if you are interested in printing, or you're thinking it's about time that you start making some art that people can actually hold and put on the wall, click on the Red River tile that's on all the pages of Digital Story. It'll take you over to our landing page. You can learn about the different paper. You can learn about printers. You can, you know, see reviews. There's tutorials there. Everything you need to get started. And they also have a terrific Facebook page that you might want to follow at facebook.com/Red River Paper. As I said before, longest running sponsor of the Digital Story. Really great people, and their paper is fantastic. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I was surprised by macOS Mojave. I liked it more than I was anticipating. I'm really enjoying it. Those of you that use Macs, I hope you take a look at it. Those of you who don't use Macs, we're talking about something else next week. Make sure you come back and join me. Until then, have a great week. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.